This morning's scripture will be coming from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Please follow along. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap.
You know, in the preacher's pen, I said it was glad to get back to some normalcy, and while things won't be exactly normal, we will continue to do those things necessary to keep us all safe, even as we continue to try to get all of our Bible classes up and running again. And I know we've missed a lot of those things, but we will still do everything in our that is humanly possible to make sure that everyone stays safe. You know, we've all been there at one time or another. And maybe someone this morning may even feel as if they are on the banks of the Jordan. You know, the River Jordan has become a symbol, symbolizing a seemingly impossible task before us, or maybe a situation that we've never been in before. We sing about it sometimes. When I verge on the Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, land me safe on Canaan's side. Or maybe sometimes the one that fits the best is on Jordan's stormy banks I stand. But I'd like for us to go together to a place on the banks of the Jordan, some 20 miles south of the city of Adam in the foothills of Mount Hermon, just east of Gilgal and Jericho. History tells us that the Jordan was a calm flowing stream that was in a lot of places about 100 feet wide and some places 3 to 10 feet deep. But now the scriptures tells us in Joshua 3 and verse 15 that the spring rains and the melting snow of Mount Hermon, the river has become a raging torrent. It was at this point over a mile wide, and it was flowing very swiftly. Based on this information, the crossing of the Jordan River may have been a greater miraculous event than the crossing of the Red Sea, which at that time was quiet and still waters. The sea was parted. The Jordan, however, was a raging river, and the people would have to cross over 5,000 feet of water to get to the other side. And then all of a sudden, the Lord stopped it. Scriptures tells us that the water was backed up to the city of Adam, 20 miles to the north, and that the river was dry all the way down to the Dead Sea. And as soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, the people witnessed firsthand and experienced the miracle. Jordan was cut off. Can you just imagine? 1 million people or so, maybe more, stood on the banks of that raging river. Can you imagine how fearful they were at the prospect of trying to cross it? Maybe to some, their nerves were tingling in anticipation of a new land and a new life. I'm sure for many, it was an exciting time for God's people. The time has now come when God's promises lay in front of them. would only trust him. Step out in faith, claim the victory. That sounds familiar. Sounds a lot like God's promises to us today. It wasn't the first time that God had said that he would deliver them if, just if, they would trust and obey. For their ancestors, he parted the Red Sea. He fed them manna from heaven. He brought water from rocks, quail from the east wind. He healed their snake bites. Their sandals never wore out. Their clothes never rotted. This crossing transformed Israel from a wandering horde into an established nation. And there's no doubt that all of us have stood there. We've all had our Jordans to cross. Some of us are standing with one foot in the water. And if we aren't, we will be in some time in our life. And that's just the way life is. We can learn something about living the adventure that God has set before us. Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 4 that for whatever was written in the past was for our instruction, that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. What he is reminding us here is that we have a narrative that has something to say to us and something that was written for our benefit. We really need to give God his rightful place and trust him explicitly. In Joshua chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, it writes, and when you see the Ark of the Covenant move out, you shall follow it, but not too close, because you have never been this way before, so that you may know where to go. And then in verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. At Mount Sinai, God said, you will have no other gods before me. Jesus told the rich nobleman to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your body. And in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Friends, Jordan is a scary place. Without God's presence in our life. And of all the people that should know that, it is us. If we individually and collectively, as a body of believers, are going to cross our Jordan to live differently and faithfully, then we must give God his rightful place, which is first place, before all others, before all things. Are we willing to live the adventure? Joshua's instructions were to follow God, follow behind the ark. Why is that? because we are going where we have never been before. For those who have served in the military a number of years and were transferred from one place to another, understands that each of those transfers was an adventure. We were going to be living in a place where we've never been before. I'm sure Charles and going to Guam and in these other places were living in a culture that was totally alien to anything we've ever had before. Joe in Alaska, trying to speak Eskimo and polar bear. You know, we've been there, and it's a scary place. But what made it better was that we were always in contact with people who have been there. And that is what is so important about following God, because He will get us there. Genuine discipleship and faith and trusting God is the first step of giving up the life that we once knew and follow Jesus in a new way of thinking and a new way of living. This means that we are to break out of our comfort zone, to take up our cross and follow Him. I hope what I'm about to say, you won't get upset with me. But the comfort zone religion is no religion at all. God is constantly and consistently asking us to step out in faith, to live differently, to live boldly, and to add to our faith knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, steadfastness, to steadfastness, gentle godliness, to godliness, brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Peter also wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange is happening to you." Which of these verses sound anything like being in a comfort zone? Living for Christ, crossing our own Jordan, frequently calls us to go into uncharted territory. We must not be afraid of the future, for it is God who controls the future. We need to believe what we sing. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. How many times when we sing that song do we sing it because we like the music? Do we believe truly what we sing? We're not walking blind because we are following Christ. We are walking in the light. He is a lamp to our feet. He is a light to our path. And if Christ, if the Word of God, was sufficient to lead Israel across their Jordan and to sustain life in a new land, do you think that Jesus, who is the Word, will successfully and safely lead us from the waters of baptism to our promised land? There are things that we must do to cross Jordan. Things like action and work. Israel had to do two things. The opening verses of Joshua 3 tells us that, one, they had to wait 3 days. And sometimes waiting is the hardest thing to do. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, the verse reads, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Friends, waiting time is never wasted time as long as we are waiting on the Lord. Joshua 3 and verse 5, it says, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." God is telling them, Joshua is telling them, clean up your lives. Consecrate means to set oneself apart as holy unto God. And if we're going to cross our Jordan, if we're not willing to consecrate ourselves, where do you think our help will come from? Genuine faith is a verb. Faith is a word of action. Faith is a behavior. Look at some of the great men in Hebrews 11. What faith was. For Abel, it was offerings. Enoch walked. Noah built. Abraham obeyed and went. All actions. The Bible teaches us from cover to cover that a God-pleasing faith demands something of us. When Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me, he indicated an action needed to be done. Some work. Verbs like come, and take, and follow. The cross is something we die on. And a Christian faith is the work of dying to self and living for God. Are we willing? I'm sure that on that great day, and all those people were looking at that wide river flowing in a torrent, that there were many who were afraid. You know, back in 1997, just before the great flood in North Dakota and the Red River, about a week and a half before that, we had this ice storm. And it took down over 100,000 North Dakota trees. That's telephone poles. We were without power for days on end. And then guess what happened? It got warm. All the snow, all the ice started to melt. The ground was still frozen down to 18 feet, so there was no place for the water to seep into the ground. Driving on US 2, if you look across the fields, it's like you were driving across the causeway because the waters had covered the fields that looked like huge lakes. And the night that the dikes broke, Vicki and I were down on the one dike in the south of the city with sandbags. And we're standing up there, and then somebody said, "A dike broke. We got to evacuate." Guess what? We were one of the last people the bus come to take. And we were sitting there worried because our car was parked in a lot that the next day would be under 5 feet of water. You see, we had to go north into the city about 3 miles to get to the car. And when we were packed in the bus and we were going up the street that would go past the parking lot, You look out the back of the bus, you could see the waters coming up the street. Are we going to make it out? These folks here, I'm sure, were thinking the same thing. Are we waiting 3 days because we're going to get a bunch of engineers to figure out how we're going to put a bridge across this thing? Are we going to wait till the waters dry up? We can't cross this. We can all think of times when fear paralyzed our good intentions. Jesus knows our fears. Jesus encourages us. Here's what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. And something that we need to heed also. I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Those very same words are just as applicable today as they were thousands of years ago. Our high school graduates are now going to be facing a new chapter in their lives. And while they know what direction they want to go in, that doesn't necessarily mean where you're going to end up. It's life. We can cower in fear, stay behind a shut door, or we can step out in faith and cross that Jordan. As long as we're willing sometimes to wait, but also to trust and obey. And then, of course, it is going to require on our parts action. Take that walk of faith so that we can conquer the fears that oftentimes limit us. It's our choice. It's our choice to make. The time for us to make a choice is today, right now. We can cower in fear about what the future may bring. But rest assured, tomorrow's going to come whether we try to forestall it or not. It will come. Trusting God. Be faithful to Him. Consecrate yourselves, and He will let you walk behind Him as He leads the way. If you're not a child of God, I pray that you'll make that decision to get behind the one who will lead you in this life. It will help you cross the Jordans of life. And then the last days of your life, you will cross the final Jordan into the land of Canaan. If that is your desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you're just struggling with some things that you need our prayers for. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.